Okay, let's go.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the February 15th, 2018, Slavisa Board Meeting. We'll start off with public comment. Anybody from the public like to comment? Seeing none, we'll move to item number two, conflicts of interest from any of our trustees. Anybody need to identify any conflicts of interest? Seeing none, we'll move on to number three, trans resolution.
Board, thank you. The resolution for you today is just the trans process. It's trans authorized up to $11 million worth of tax anticipation notes. Just to provide some background on the tax anticipation notes, when we go through this process, is that the service area is fully funded through property tax, and those revenues aren't received until the months of October, November, December time frame. So due to the cash flow that's provided within the packet, the cash on hand will need more cash on hand coming March in order to continue to pay the Empire Police Department contract. It's anticipated that we would need $9.75 million to do that with. We do have our financial advisor, Zions Bank, Jonathan Ward, here today as well, and talk about some of the process of how we went out through the bidding process on that and how we arrived to where we are with the market conditions there. So.
Good.
Board members, it's nice to be with you again. We do this once a year nowadays, sort of on this cycle.
I'd like to see you come back more often. Yeah.
We appreciate the opportunity to work with you, and our job as advisors is to try to get you the lowest cost financing possible, whether that's for tax notes, for cash flow purposes like now, if you're building precinct buildings or otherwise, that's our job. And also to advise in a broad number of financial matters as you and the staff see fit. In this case, as it relates to the notes, every year we go through an analysis and try to evaluate how is the best way to sell these tax notes given all the different circumstances. We look to the public capital markets, the bond markets, we call them, and ask and look at where tax notes across the country are being priced, where they're being sold. And you're not unique in this tax note issuance. In the months of January and February, we see literally dozens and dozens of different entities, cities, counties, school districts, and local districts borrowing money for their cash flow needs because, like you, their taxes are paid out once a year. On this chart, which I think is included in your packet, we outline the rationale, the rated tax notes, the non-rated tax notes, rated meaning by a nationally recognized rating agency, Moody's or Standard & Poor's. We look at recent direct purchase tax notes where we've sold notes directly to an investor or been the investor in the case of Mill Creek, and we lay out basically where's the market. We look at everything we can that's available that's comparable to Slavisa and determine where's the market. And then we look at how much does it cost to access that market or the other market or this other market. And at the end of the day, we've concluded that our best route is to sell the notes again to Bank of Utah. They bought the notes last year. And in this case, they've locked in a rate of 1.76%.
Can I just break in for just a minute?
Yeah.
I've got a question on quorum. We need one. We got someone off the
yes.
speaker.
Yes, Councilman Pazell's on the phone.
Thank you.
Sorry. I should have done.
Good thing to take note of. So if we do look at the different options, we look at the benefits. Sometimes when you go to market and you pay for a note rating, you get a lower interest rate, but you pay a higher upfront fee. Because of the short-term nature of these notes, interest rate starts to play less of a role compared to upfront fees. So we're looking at the Balance Act as we go through that. We've asked for, via an informal solicitation from other direct purchase investors, where their rates are for notes. given tax reform, has modified the value of tax exemption for a lot of banks. The rates are higher than they were last year. In addition to that, every time the Federal Open Market Committee raises their short-term interest rate target, the short-term borrowing costs for tax notes also goes up commensurately. So we're seeing this rising interest rate environment. We've locked in a 1.76% rate with Bank of Utah, which is very good relative to where we anticipate rates will be in a couple of weeks, mid-March, for instance. We expect the Fed will raise the rates again another quarter percentage point, which would translate to another quarter percentage point increase in the borrowing cost. You can see some of these other direct purchase rates. Wells Fargo just locked in a 1.84% rate with Unified Buyer Service Area as the buyer for those tax notes. So that 1.8 was their indication of where they could be, but it wasn't locked. And you look at some of these others, Washington Federal at a 301 due to their basically perceived value in tax exemption. They say, we're not going to do that. Our tax bracket now is so much lower than it was before, so we're going to charge a higher rate to cover and get our rate of return. And some of these other buyers aren't interested. They say, there's no money in these short-term investments. We don't want to do that. We'll hold our capital for something else, a little longer term, higher yield. So that's sort of the process we've gone through in order to get to this point, and it's our recommendation to take the Bank of Utah 176 rate and run with it, knowing that we anticipate it will be higher.
Yes.
So a question, you started to talk about, I thought maybe you were leading to that there may be some lending entities that maybe don't raise their rates that much, but raise their fees. And so is that what you were alluding to? And where does that come into play? I mean, we don't see the fee structure on any of these.
The fees come into play under the market offered transactions. So a rating, for instance, on just under $10 million costs $13,000 to buy the rating, to have an analyst review and publish this rating. That $13,000 gets evaluated in relation to the interest rate. For instance, the average interest rate on a rated tax note sold publicly is about 1.4%. The average rate or interest rate on a tax note sold without a rating is about 1.5%. That difference of 10 basis points is around $10,000 on our $10 million note size. Okay. So then it's a cost-benefit analysis. Is it worth paying $13,000 for a rating if you're only going to get $10,000 of benefit from it? So we go through that analysis and say, no, cost-benefit analysis doesn't demonstrate that we need a rating. Then we start going into the other types of methodologies. For instance, the non-rated notes versus a direct purchase. Do we sell notes publicly or do we sell them to one investor locally and look at the difference in cost? Because not only are we paying for a rating if we go to the market in most cases, we also are paying for offering document preparation because the Securities and Exchange Commission requires us to go through a more thorough disclosure process. So that's sort of where we're looking. All of this analysis gets mixed up based on the size of the notes as well. If you're talking $10 million and your interest rate's a 1.76%, you're going to accrue X amount of interest over the course of 8 to 9 months. If you're talking about $50 million, the amount of interest accrued over that time period is a lot more. And so the cost-benefit analysis is a little different. You might say, well, we're going to the market for sure on a larger note issue because the interest accrued over that 8 to 9 months is going to be a lot more significant than the upfront rating fees or the upfront offering statement preparation.
Thank you.
Any questions for him? Anything to add, Andrew?
I'll just add the resolution just also authorizes the issuance of up to $11 million and then also grants the authority for the board chair and the treasurer to approve those final terms of the 1.76 for the Bank of Utah offer. So that's the resolution that's before you for approval. Do you want to add anything, Carl?
No, you captured the only restriction on the board's authority that occurs in this resolution is that you delegate to the chair and the chief financial officer and treasurer the ability to accept the final terms and execute the documents, as opposed to bringing them back here.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we accept the trans resolution, or adopt the trans resolution.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four on the agenda.
Hear the phone.
Sorry. I didn't hear your vote. Councilman Pizzella, you're
still
in?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll move to item number four, fourth quarter financial report. I forgot he was there.
Okay, quarterly financial update. So this, Slovisa operates on a fiscal year, a calendar year, not a fiscal year. And so, this document is near the end of your packet, second to the last page. Basically in the packet, looks similar to the ones that we reviewed in ECB. So this is a snapshot of our end of year. I believe, I'm almost 100% sure that we have everything in here. It's not been audited yet, so I won't say that it for sure has everything in here, but I think we've captured everything and that this reflects where we'll really land the year. So the first column here is going to be our year-to-date actuals. The second column is a projection. There's no difference between either of those two columns. And the third column is our full-year budget with a variance at the final column there. So in our expenditures, we've got our operating revenues there. We've received $34,734,000 of revenue on a $34,917,000 budget. So, excuse me, so on our expenditures. And so we're a little bit below our expenditures with the main areas, and I think I said revenues earlier, I did mean expenditures, but the main areas of savings that we saw was in our professional fees. We did not expend all of our professional fees, and that's really the area that we pay things out to, you know, govern the things that happen here in our organization. And then on the other item is our note interest. We had budgeted $250,000. We only spent $137,000. One note on that to compare from last year to this year is that we borrowed $19,350,000 last year and paid $137,000 of interest. On $9,750,000, we will be paying over $140,000 of interest this year. So just kind of a note, and the changes in the markets, and if the market rates continue to go up, that will continue to be affected and cost the organization some additional funds, which I believe the market is just going to be going up for the next little bit anyhow that we can see. So just a note on that. On the revenue side, you can see the first column there adds up to $35,881,000 of actual revenue received. The budget was $35,568,000. The main areas where we received some additional funds was about $85,000 in property tax areas, and then about $144,000 in fee and lieu, which did surprise us because there were some entities that had gone out for some tax increases. Typically, when you see that, it decreases the amount of fee and lieu that you get, and so that was a little bit of a surprise to us, receiving that much additional fee and lieu. And then interest, we received some additional interest. Again, that's due to the fact that actually money on the payment of property taxes, in my opinion, this year came in a little earlier, maybe about a week earlier than what it normally had in the past, and that reflects in some higher interest rates during the month of December. Again, short-term debt proceeds there. That's just an offset of the short-term debt payment up above and the expenditures. So we ended the year, beginning of year fund balance was $6,065,000. We're ending the year about $7,213,000. That represents roughly about a 20% fund balance. Now, as we transition now into our current year, remember that we're now a smaller entity. We're approximately half the size of what we were prior because Mill Creek has left, as well as Harriman and Riverton. And so as a result of that, some of this $7 million that's in fund balance is going to be distributed to them. And was it $4.9
million? Yeah, that sounds about the right
I think
number.
It's $4.9 million.
For all three entities.
For all three entities, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $4,985,000. That will be distributed to them. That will be in March, and we will bring that to your attention next board meeting that will be March 15th. We'll bring that to your attention so that you can be fully aware of what that is. All three of them have agreements with the three entities so that it discloses how that will all work and everything. And then we will cut that check after the board meeting in March next year to send that out to those three entities. So be aware that that will occur. That's all factored in on all of our cash flows and everything else so that we kind of know what's going on and who's getting what and where and when so that we can anticipate our cash flows and our cash needs and everything through the year.
Mr. Chair, how does once that's distributed out, does everything just kind of equal out, or does it keep us within a best practices percentage of our year in balance?
So now our goal is about 15% from our study that we had, and when we had adopted that with the board, it was a yearish, maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And we thought initially when we were budgeting that we would probably be down in the 10 to 12% fund balance range at the end of the year. It looks like we'll probably be pretty dang close to a 15% fund balance. We'll watch that as we go through the year. And when we get our certified tax rate in June, we'll really be able to pinpoint that a lot better. But we're really thinking that we're going to be in that 15-ish percent range, which is where we want to be. So I think that everything, all in all, you know, I mean, you don't ever want to see an organization, you know, change this drastically, from my opinion. But through all the changes, I think we've weathered them well, that we're in a place where we hoped and thought we would be, and that's the case. So I think we're good.
So once the 4.9 is paid, what does our percentage look like that's in fund balance after? The 2.4 that's left, what is that of the overall budget?
Well, it won't end up being 2.4. If you go back to that cash flow statement, which here's in front of it, it's really little. But it looks like we would end the year, about $2.5 million. And this is cash, so it's going to be a little bit lower than our actual fund balance. But I think the actual fund balance is closer to $2.5 million. That is pretty dang close to a 15% fund balance.
Of the new budget?
Okay. Yeah.
Any questions for staff? Thank you. Item number 5, job description. Slavisa Administrator.
Yeah, so just wanted to bring the job description to your attention from our prior board meeting of adopting the approval of a full-time administrator. So this will be the job description that we plan on doing the recruitment from. Plan on also sending this out to the Utah Association of Special Districts as well. So we garner somebody, you know, try to get the most of that applicant pool as possible. We did go back and started looking at market salary and kind of comparatives throughout the marketplace. And the range is from anywhere between $70,000 up to $90,000, kind of based on that experience. That total compensation then ranges anywhere between $107,000 to $132,000, depending on, you know, what that range between $70,000 and $90,000 is. We'd also just point out as well that this individual will be appointed by this board, but then the day-to-day operations will be supervised by the chair, the CEO, which is currently the sheriff of Salt Island for Consumer Services. Now with that, if there's any input or if there's any participation from this board, I mean, we certainly look to this board if you want to sit up on the interview process. That's welcome as well. So we look to this board for some of that direction. So.
Andrew, did you say 70-90K plus benefits?
70-90,000, that's the wage, the salary, and then with the total compensation would be about $107,000 for the $70,000 wage. And then for the $90,000 wage, it'd be roughly $133,000 for total comps. So, and that includes, you know, the URS, 401k, market health insurance channel.
Timeline, did you mention that? How?
Timeline, I'm hoping to get it out to the Association of Special Districts and then post it early next week. And definitely we'll keep this board apprised when we set out that, that recruitment. So,
is there any specific interest by a board member or several board members to sit on the interview panel on that?
No.
If there is, feel free to let me know, and we'll let you know those dates when we go through that recruitment process.
I think it'd be nice if one of us did, at least. Maybe you guys pick, just reach out to one of us and see if we can, when you get some dates.
Okay.
Just to have us involved.
Yeah, that's
fair. I don't
yeah.
think we won't be here at that either, so.
One of the issues that's involved in this is making sure, as Harry and I go through the memorandum of understanding between the two entities, that you retain, that even though they become a UPD employee, that you retain the kind of control over it that you need to have.
Right.
Both in terms of hiring, firing, the ability to set policy, all those things.
And is that MOU already being developed, or?
It is.
Okay.
That's in the process. All right.
Harry and I exchanged drafts at this point.
And we,
it needs a lot more work, and part of it depends on what the legislature does. Because statutorily, the sheriff is the chief executive officer of the service area. And if they don't amend that, only amend the UPD piece of it, the sheriff will remain as the CEO. And so you kind of have to wait to see what they do with that.
Okay.
So far, they've left the sheriff in place for the service area.
Okay. Any more questions? Thank you. Anybody else have any other business? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks. Yeah.